Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Drew Mandel, along with Richard Pollock, as the Winnipeg Jets defeat the Arizona Coyotes by a 3-2 margin tonight at MTS Center. Richard, a game that was slow, not really, a little sloppy for the first 45, 50 minutes, but I thought the last 10 minutes it sort of picked up and made for an entertaining game for game number two of the Jets' three-game homestand.
Neither team played particularly well tonight, Drew. I think that the Jets, I wouldn't say they're lucky to win. I mean, lucky to win when you get 23 shots on net, but not lucky to win tonight's game. I mean, I thought tonight's game was kind of a coin flip game. And whoever wanted it at the end was able to get it. It wasn't the best performance, a lot of sloppy passing, not a ton of great passing plays and chances, but overall the Jets were able to bear down and, you know, win in style with the Thorburn goal, I'm sure we'll talk about. But it's one you'll take. You'll take the 2 points, but you're not going to go back to the drawing board and say, oh, you know, there's a ton of stuff we want to take from this game. And even the penalties they were taking, they're still going to have to work on that. But it's 2 points against a team you need to win at home. You took care of business. You've dealt with some adversity with the goalie change and the injury. So there are positives to take. But the Jets can't play this way against a better team because they will not win.
No, that's a real good way of analyzing tonight's contest. You mentioned the injury. We'll touch on that off the start. Andre Pavlik was bowled over by Shane Doan late in the second period. Pavlik stayed in the game for the remainder of the second, but did not come out for the third. The Jets announced he was out. He was out for the remainder of the game with a lower body injury. So Michael Hutchinson, on the strength of the third period, gets the victory in tonight's game. Did you have a problem with Doan's play running into Pavlik? He was penalized for it, but did you have a problem with it?
I thought it was handled well. It's a penalty, you know. But at the same time, Drew, that's how Shane Doan has ever played his whole career. That's how you have to play as a winger. It's a big winger in the National Hockey League. He went to the net. He didn't mean to absolutely hammer Andre Pavlik. I think he went over there. I think Ken Weeb noted he went over there and tapped him after, made sure he was okay. That's not his intention. He made a play. It was a penalty for sure. I don't think it was a dirty play. He plays hard. You know, people might take issue with his hit at the end of the game and such, and he does play on the edge at times, but that play particularly I didn't have an issue with. And it's unfortunate that Pavlik got injured. And give him credit, I mean, there's two good things. Well, first off, I mean, he topped it up and played the rest of the second period, which is impressive. The other thing is, when you said lower body injury, I was happy to hear that, only because I had concerns that might be a concussion, and it appears it's not.
Yeah, he definitely got hard. Before we break down all the goals, a thought on Shane Doan. 20th year here at this point in time. And we remember, I think it was, I saw a tweet that came out during the course of the game when he scored in the first period for the Coyotes. Him and Jaromir Jagr are the only two players to have scored both at the old Winnipeg Arena and at the current MTS Center. So just a comment on Shane Doan and his longevity and, you know, what you saw from him on the ice tonight, because, you know, he was the third star tonight. I thought he was the Coyotes' best player tonight.
Yeah, you know, he was good, Drew. You can see in his skating, and that actually is part and parcel with our last discussion about the play. You know, had it been 5 years ago, he would have had issue beating Stewart wide and taking that puck and scoring, or at least getting a good chance. Here, he just doesn't skate the same way. But he keeps his body in good shape. We had Tyson Nash this morning talk about his leadership and on and off the ice. It is a testament to, you know, character to be playing this long and your love for the game. So I thought he was pretty good. Not as effective as he has been before. But yeah, definitely one of the more effective Coyotes players tonight for sure.
The Jets opened the scoring for a second consecutive game. Mark Scheifele with his eighth of the year. It's unassisted. It comes at the 6:50 mark of the first period. He forces the turnover at the Coyotes blue line and shows good patience in beating Anders Lindback, who was in net for Mike Smith, as Mike Smith was out for the Coyotes with a lower body injury. Lindback wasn't great tonight, and, you know, which is sort of the tail of his career as of late.
Yeah, he's not very good, Drew, and the Jets took advantage on the Thorburn goal we'll talk about. This puck particularly was tipped, it looked like, off of Ekman-Larsson, but the play starts when Mark Stone's brother, both Manitoba boys, kind of trips the blue line and loses his balance. When he does, he misses the puck. So he's got to go back into the zone with less time than he had before. He tries to make a pass to Vermette. Vermette is, I wouldn't say open, Vermette's on the boards, and Scheifele's right on him. So had he been able to not trip, maybe he would have been able to have more time to make the play. And good read by Scheifele. I thought Scheifele was really good tonight. Good read by Scheifele to pinch on Vermette, steals the puck, comes into the middle, and this is the thing I like about Scheifele, is that he takes the time in the middle. Like, you have to have confidence to be able to do that, and he has matured and has the confidence. He takes a shot. I think it hit Ekman Larsson's knee, and it pops through it, I think low, maybe the 5-hole, but I know it did. Well, at least it appeared to me that it hit Ekman Larsson, and the Jets are up 1-0. But a smart play by Scheifele to read the situation and take advantage of the time and space and score.
The Coyotes tie it up 3 minutes later at the 9:30 mark. It's on the power play. Both of the Coyotes' goals tonight were on the power play, as the Jets' old bugaboo of taking penalties comes back to haunt them again. Shane Doan, his sixth of the year, assist to Mikhail Bodker and Antoine Vermette. Vermette getting his third assist on the season, still looking for that first goal. It's a hell of a tip by Shane Doan in front of Andrei Pavlik.
Well, it is, Drew. I mean, the play really starts, good puck movement. I thought the Coyotes' power play, those first two goals, obviously, they're moving the puck a little better. But the Jets really improved the penalty kill in the second half of the game. I thought the Jets did an excellent job at preventing the Coyotes gaining the zone. Arizona was really trying to come with speed, drop the puck to the trailer, and the Jets snipped those plays out. Now, that was the key to victory. But in terms of this play here, Jets got a little bit aggressive, and the Coyotes passed the puck really well. Went Domi to Bodker, back to Domi, back to Bodker. So when you're able to move the puck that quickly, a little catch and shoot, two left-handed shooting guys on the left side of the ice, the puck pops up, Bodker played the point, and he puts a shot on net. And when he puts a shot on net, you said it was a nice tip by Shane Doan. Having said that, you don't want a guy like Shane Doan, a guy who's a proven scorer, a bit open in front of the net with completely untouched. And so what happened was Party got a little bit aggressive in his own zone. Mark Stewart was above Doan. And I think really, right, Party took a second too long to get back from the corner, and that's a testament to the Coyotes moving the puck well. You don't want to give a guy like that kind of open season to tip the puck, because Bodker put a nice shot, but it wasn't the hardest shot. So Doan will tip that probably 8 out of 10 times. So good execution there by Arizona.
1-1 at that point in time, and then about 6 minutes later, Connor Murphy on the power play gets the Coyotes' second goal of the game to take a 2-1 lead. Connor Murphy with his first of the year assist to Stone and Duclair. This coming at the 15:49 mark, another power play goal for the Coyotes.
And on this play, Drew, I mean, you have Stone, we talked about before. This play, he makes a nice, does a nice job of walking the line. So he walks the blue line, and he switches with Connor Murphy. When he switches with Connor Murphy, the Jets, Stafford is on Stone. He stays on Stone from right to left, they don't make the switch quick enough, and Wheeler doesn't get out to Murphy as quickly as he probably liked to. Murphy gets a shot off on the one-timer. Now, Wheeler likely would probably tell you that he should have closed the gap quicker. Having said that, that's Pavlik's error. I mean, that's not the hardest shot. I know there's a little bit of a screen, but Pavlik's got to have that puck. So that goes on Pavlik to me. I don't have a huge issue. I mean, sure, you want to be able to switch a little more efficiently on the top of the zone with two right-handed shots and kind of know where the puck's going, and you could tell that's where it was going with Murphy. But Pavlik's got to have that.
Coyotes lead 2-1 after 20 minutes at MTS Center. The Jets finally tie up the game at the 12:48 mark of the second. It's Dustin Byfuglien, his sixth of the year, assist to Andrew Kopp. A beautiful give-and-go between these two. Up to this point in time in the second period, the Jets really hadn't done anything. Neither team had really done much at that point in time. So in the blink of an eye, it's a Dustin Byfuglien special, you know, a real dynamic play between him and Kopp, and he makes no mistake.
Yeah, exactly, Drew. I mean, you have Wheeler start to play and gets a little bit of pressure in the offensive zone, but the play really is Byfuglien. Byfuglien makes the play. He plays give-and-go, catch-and-shoot with Andrew Kopp, who makes a smart play to get it right back to him in a shooting position. He just felt like that puck was going in. And on this play, in terms of the Coyotes, when Byfuglien's at the blue line, you can see he wants in. He makes the pass to Kopp, and he breaks towards the net. Vermette moves over to Kopp to cover Kopp. Martinuk loses Byfuglien in coverage. And you can see, you know, he's above Byfuglien, so that's never a good thing for a player who's trying to defend to be above the shooter. And Byfuglien, testament to his smarts, he makes the pass, jumps quickly before the Coyotes figure out who's taking who, and he gets a one-timer. That's a big thing. You know, so many guys on this Jets team can't get that one-timer off. And Byfuglien does it as well as anyone. It's a beautiful play. Doesn't need a big slap shot here. Puts that puck past Lynn back, and it's 2-2.
2-2, as you said, after 40 minutes. And then the third period was really dominated by a number of different power play opportunities. The Jets had a 5-on-3, a brief 5-on-3, and they really had four consecutive minutes of power play opportunity as the Coyotes took two straight penalties, back-to-back Hanzel and then Samuelson each taking penalties. The Jets took three penalties in the third period as well. They got a bench minor, and then Andrew Ladd was off for cross-checking. And while Ladd was in the box for cross-checking at the 11:09 mark of the third period, Chris Thorburn, his third of the year, unassisted. A hustle play, it really brought the roof off this building, but you know, full marks to Thorburn, but it's a save that Anders Lindback really does have to make.
Yeah, he did have to make it, Drew, because of the shot, and he missed it with his glove. But, I mean, just a great play by Chris Thorburn. Mm-hmm. A great hustle on Stone again. We're mentioning Stone a lot for good and bad reasons. He doesn't take Thorburn, doesn't angle him off the puck well enough. Thorburn hustles, as you mentioned, muscles him off the puck, gets position on him. And just an amazing play, shorthanded. And puts a good move. Like, I like the move. He knows he has time. He doesn't rush it. One deke, two dekes, three, puts a puck on net. And that's a tough save in close. I mean, I'm not going to totally blame Lindback for that. I mean, should he have it? Yeah, probably tell you that. But there's worse goals to let in. The puck, I think, goes under his glove. And when a guy's in close and has got a lot of time like that, you try and take the angle, but you're not prepared for it. And Thorburn scores, shorthanded goal. I mean, certainly couldn't have gone the other way. They're off the penalty. I believe it was Lowry at that point.
No, that was Ladd. Lowry took a
penalty. Ladd's cross-check on Ekman Larson, yeah.
An offensive zone penalty.
Yeah, which Lowry's was as well. But, I mean, just a big team boost and certainly an emotional boost for the crowd and then the team. So you got to give Thorburn credit. You know, a guy who works his butt off and usually is not one to get on the scoreboard, but that was a big one. First start of night, too.
Yeah, and absolutely deserving after that play. The Jets were able to kill off a late Adam Lowry penalty, undisciplined holding penalty in the offensive zone.
I mean, you can't grab hand on shoulder. Do I like the call? Not really. I mean, I just didn't think it was blatant enough at that time in the game, but it was hand on shoulder, and the refs, and you saw Mihalik say, like, you know, where's the call? And it came, and offensive zone, no need for it. When you're I don't love the call, but you just have to think about the game situation. I'm Adam Lowry. I'm above the guy with the puck. So that means I'm between him and the net. We're up one goal. I'm in the offensive zone. There's no need for it.
That's right. There's just no need for it. Fortunately for the Winnipeg Jets, it doesn't come back to bite them as they are able to maintain the 3-2 lead, and it finishes 3-2. A little bit of some rough stuff at the end, but that's okay. A bunch of passionate teams, passionate guys, especially Blake Wheeler and Shane Doan. Dustin Byfuglien jumped in there at the end. But the Jets will take it. Not always pretty, but they're now 2-for-2 on this three-game homestand. In terms of some time on ice, Andrew Kopp, even though he got the assist, played a team low 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Anthony Peluso at 3:56 on that fourth line. So the Jets really went with 10 forwards as opposed to 12, with both of those gentlemen not getting a ton of ice time. Next in action, of course, on Monday night for the Winnipeg Jets, as they're going to face the Colorado Avalanche in a Central Division matchup here at MTS Center. For Richard Pollock and Dave Manuk, who's doing great work on IllegalCurve.com, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.